In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today we hear about freedom and slavery. And I tell you, the world does not understand either one. They don't understand that much of what they call freedom is slavery, and much of what they call slavery is freedom. And St. Paul uses these words quite a bit in this selection from the Epistle to the Romans. And he says something very interesting that makes me think about the gospel that we heard today about the centurion. So let's start with St. Paul, and then let's go to the centurion, because the centurion is showing the perfection of freedom. So St. Paul says, being made free from sin, ye became slaves of righteousness. Some translations say servants. It's not correct. It is slaves of righteousness. We either are going to be slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. Now, the difference between these two is profound, but it's also different in how we are, shall we say, choosing to become. When you sin, you become a slave without a choice because you just cannot stop sinning. We've all experienced that, where we have habits that we can't stop and bad things that we can't stop or things that we cannot begin to do. We say we have trouble saying our prayers, or we have trouble cussing, or trouble with bad thoughts, and we don't know really how to stop them. They just keep coming. So there's slavery there, but it's not willing. There's nothing willing about it. That's how we normally think of slavery, as you're not willing. You're coerced into working. You're forced to work. But the slavery to righteousness is willing. That's the big difference. It is where we choose to be slaves to God because he's the most benevolent master there is. And we choose to give up our will, which is ineffective and makes a lot of mistakes, give it up to God. So there's a huge difference here. One is unwilling, the other is willing. Both are types of slavery, but one is slavery that leads only to more slavery. But the slavery to righteousness leads to complete freedom. But we have to understand what this freedom is. This freedom is to have this nobility of soul, because we were created in the image of God, so we should have some of the attributes of God. God is completely free. He can do whatever he wishes, but all that he wishes to do is good. So all he does is good. We are not completely free because of our sins, but Christianity is basically a person becoming more free. It's basically what it is. It's just a shame that we have this watered down idea that's in Western culture that Christianity is just being forgiven. Christianity is being perfected, becoming free. In order to become free, you must make yourself a slave, but willingly make yourself a slave. So he says this kind of complicated idea that we were made free from sin and yet we become slaves of righteousness. And then he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. So let's hear about someone who is not after the manner of men. Let's hear about the centurion. I want to tell you a little bit of background first, because you need to understand background in order to understand the scriptures. It's just like anything else. You can't understand calculus until you understand arithmetic. Well, you can't understand the scriptures until you understand some of the basic things that are happening, the culture and the context and those sorts of things. So he goes into Capernaum, which is an area which is lots of Gentiles are there. So it's not really considered to be a very clean city. And he sees a centurion. Now the centurion would be, of course, a soldier of the occupying government, Rome. So he's an authority of the pagan government. But he hears, just like everybody else, he hears the teaching of Jesus, and he believed. Ostensibly a pagan, but a believer in his heart, and a man with an incredibly noble heart. So he comes to Jesus because his servant, that is his slave, is sick and is dying. And he loves his slave, and he wants his slave to live, and he knows that he has no power whatsoever to help him. So he goes to Christ, a pagan talking with a Jew. First of all, it would be for a soldier to actually talk to a Jew and ask him for something, other than, you know, go get this, go get that, get me a cup of wine or something, that is unheard of, because the Jews were the inferiors. And here was the superior, the one with the sword, coming to a man saying, please help me. So that's one thing that shows how noble he was. But another is that he, in humility, understood his position. His position might be as the superior in terms of might, because he's the one with the occupying army and with the men behind him who have swords and shields and spears. But he knows that he's inferior to Jesus, not only because Jesus is the Son of God, but also because he is a Jew, and the true religion is through the Jews. The Jews would not have a Gentile go into their house. They considered that that defiled their house. This man knew that. Now, he could have done anything he wanted. He could have marched into the house if he wanted to, for sure. Or he could have forced Jesus, to go into his house. But he knew that was wrong. So he said, when the Lord said, I'll come heal him, he says, no, you don't need to do that. Because he had great faith. Whereas in another place, we have a Jewish leader, Jairus, who absolutely had to have Jesus come to see his daughter to heal her. Because he didn't have enough faith. But this centurion did have faith. He says, you don't need to come. I'm not worthy. And then he says something that shows real freedom of soul. And this is the key for us. We live in such an easy age in many ways. Easy and terrible as well. I mean, we have more sicknesses than ever before. Not physical ones, but mental ones. Almost everyone, it seems to have some kind of mental illness. People are unhappy. People are despondent. People are highly depressed. People are unfulfilled. Suicide is at an all-time high, especially among the young. So we're really an afflicted society. And a great amount of this affliction, not all of it, certainly somebody would hear me speak and say, that doesn't apply to me, and you're saying that my depression is because of this. I'm not saying that. But in general, our society wants things and is lazy and thinks they have rights to things. We get mad if somebody crosses over us in traffic. We get mad if someone on the phone that we're getting customer service from is a little rude. And we're either pretty silly people. And so the centurion understood that he's a man under authority. And he tells the Lord, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I tell one go and he goes. I tell another to do this and he does this. I tell my slave do this and he does it. He knows that he has authority to tell people what to do. Therefore, he knows that there are those in authority over him. This is the nobility of the soul that really is amazing to me. Many think this centurion was Cornelius. Such nobility of soul, to understand your place, to understand that, yes, you have authority. If you're a mother, a father, you have authority over your children, right? But if you're a worker in a business, your boss has authority over you. And that God has authority over you. You have a lot of bosses. Although you might be a boss to some, probably you're bossed more than your boss. That's the way life is. And this man has that nobility of spirit to understand his responsibilities in the world. And this is really the main point that I want you to understand. So often, I hear people tell me things about choices they've made that they know were bad, and they're unhappy, and then they have to recover from these choices. But they're weak, and they keep making the bad choices. They're enslaved. But there's always an element, just about always, an element of a certain lack of obedience in their choices. I can make these choices because I want to. You can make any choice you want. I mean, you can decide to go on Highway 5 and drive 100 miles an hour, and somebody will die, or you'll get a serious ticket and be put in jail. You can do it if you want, but it would be a very foolish choice, and I don't think any of us would make that choice, but we make other choices that are even more foolish than that because they just sort of become part of our lifestyle. So if you're unhappy, if you don't like your job, if you don't like your situation, if you have some family troubles, if you have someone that you don't get along with, if you're depressed, if whatever it is that you're not happy about, and I would be willing to bet you that every single one of us has something that gives us great grief in our life. Every single one of us. Now the question is it giving us grief because of our sins, or is it for some other reason? I think most of the time it's because of our sins, the vast majority of time. In fact, I would advise you, as the church teaches, as our ascetical theology teaches, blame yourself. You'll be right 99.9% of the time. Blame yourself for your troubles. Blame yourself for your feelings of dissatisfaction or sadness or anything else. And you'll be right almost all the time. Truly, it's the nobility of the centurion is a spectacle to us today. A man who knows authority. A man who exercises authority, but he also exercises great humility. And this is what you and I need to do. So we are not our own captain. Our Lord is the captain. If we give ourselves over to God as slaves, we'll be much happier, much happier. So much of our trouble is because of self-indulgence. And that's because we don't understand what the centurion says right here. We're under authority. When you're under authority, you got to do what you're told. So the Lord tells us to love our enemy. The Lord tells us to not be so lazy. The Lord tells us to clean up our minds. And there's 100 other things that he tells us to do. And he has a right to tell us that because he is the Lord God and we are his slaves. So if you have that attitude, then it's very easy to select what you should do in a situation. You don't have to decide, should I do this or that? It's like, if this is obedient to God, I do it. If it isn't, I don't. There's no other reasoning that needs to be done. Makes life very simple. May God help us to have this kind of nobility of soul. You have to develop it and cultivate it. You have to understand that you are under authority. And then you'll be free, which is what Christianity promises. True freedom. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.